Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, April 30th, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
A little subdued today. I don't really sound subdued because, like, you know, because I love our listeners.
See, you're like the sweetest ever. Also sweet, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I think I'm suffering from allergies, too.
Yes, I've been dealing with allergies all week. And if you want to hear a prime example of what happens when my brain gets all messed up just trying to cope with my allergies, listen to Apple Context Machine yesterday. Just saying. Matter of fact, I'll even include a link in today's show notes so that you can go and listen and be like, yeah, Jeff's brain's not working.
It was still a good show, though. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, it was still a good show, which is either a testament to our professionalism or the quality standards of the show.
Fair enough.
Hey, we have a sponsor this week, Casper Yay! Mattresses. Yeah, I know. Totally awesome. We'll be talking about them soon. And yes, I'm always excited to talk about them. But before we hop into that, I thought we could talk some about the news that's come out, which offers a totally reasonable explanation as to why we've been seeing all of the delays for Apple Watch pre-order shipping. And this is the news that one of the two suppliers of the Taptic engine for the Apple Watch gave Apple a bum batch of hardware. And so they built a boatload of watches with bad Taptic engines, discovered it, and then had to just dump them off to the side and start over because they couldn't ship a watch with a bad Taptic engine.
Mm. Well, it's good to know why, and it sounds like it's something that Apple can recover from relatively quickly. But it's a shame that it flawed the rollout.
It is, but it yes, and it shows just how critical part supplies are to product rollout. Mm-hmm. And in this case, having one supplier that failed to provide the product that they were supposed to, it threw a major wrench in the whole process. And my guess is that this is playing into why we not only are we seeing slow rollout for pre-orders, but we still aren't seeing watches in stores.
Right.
And Apple is still being vague-ish about when that actually will happen.
It'll be interesting to see what the fallout is here. My view is that this is the kind of thing, as you guys said, that happens when you have advanced technology and you're working out the kinks. And it happens to any company. But I think it's unfortunate that it's also an opportunity for people to beat up on Apple a little bit. I'll be interested in seeing how that develops. But it shouldn't be much of a fuss.
Well, seeing Apple get beat up over this, on one hand, is understandable because people are frustrated, and Apple said April 24th in stores, and that clearly didn't happen. But on the other hand, they deserve a bit of praise because they were able to find and isolate a serious production issue before they shipped watches to the public.
That's exactly right, and I'm not too upset about the delay in my watch because now I feel like, you know, well, it's going to be ready when it's ready.
It would have been a disaster had Apple shipped these things.
Oh, absolutely.
That would have been the problem. Yes.
It would have been headlines. It would have been Newton-esque in scope. The headlines about how the Apple Watch doesn't work.
Haptic gate,
yeah.
Oh.
Taptic gate.
Yeah, Taptic gate. Yeah, that's what it would have been. Oh, man, that would have been horrible. And, yeah.
It really would have been. So, and there are also companies that would have shipped them.
Oh, of course.
There are companies out there that would have shipped a product like this, you know, in the face of this huge demand because they made the wrong decision.
Right. Yeah. There are some companies that would see the need to get the product out the door to be a higher priority than getting the right product.
Yeah, just fix them later. And besides, some of them will surely work.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly the logic a lot of companies would go with.
Well, you've got Angela Ahrens in the mix here saying, it's not a bad idea. The demand is accelerating and the people are waiting in line and eagerly anticipating this watch. So it kind of fits in with Apple's mentality about creating demand.
Yeah, well, Apple doesn't seem to have a problem creating demand, regardless of whether or not they have the parts they need to make something.
That's true, too. So the real question going forward is, how long will it take Apple to solve this? In particular, they had two suppliers for a reason. And it's probably because they needed them for volume as opposed to their, diversifying their risk.
Right.
What will it take for Apple to be able to get the volumes of the Taptic Engine circuitry and device that they need to meet demand? And they're most likely going to be having to pay more for it, which is going to have an effect on margins.
It will, but I bet they also are getting a hefty refund from the company that failed to provide the product when they were supposed to. That'll balance out some.
Yeah, someone could end up going out of business over this.
Yeah. Well, the company that failed to produce the Taptic Engines is AAC Technologies, and mm-hmm. they do a lot of stuff. So they're not going to go out of business over this, but my guess is that you will notice the hit to the bottom line.
Sure.
And then the other company that is making the parts, Nidec, I think, they are apparently really ramping up their production to see if they can meet all of Apple's demand.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, they get to be the hero here because they're making the parts that work, and if they can just crank them all out, Apple will just keep sending over boxes of money.
Now you say that Apple is notorious for getting the absolute best terms. So it may be boxes of money, but that doesn't mean they're going to make boxes of profits.
That's true. And I didn't say how big those boxes would be, now did I?
And once a company screws up really badly, Apple tends to move away from them, and that's punishment enough.
And we've seen what happens when companies screw up in a major, major way. We have the whole GTAT thing as an example.
There's one other financial point on this. Apple mm-hmm. guided for some fairly low margins compared to, certainly compared to the March quarter. And this is for the June quarter I'm talking about. And this may well have to do a lot with this because this will cost money. Not only cost money to in fulfillment problems, it's going to cost money because Apple's going to end up having to refurb these things. It's going to cost money from the standpoint of rushing everything around, paying more for the Taptic Engines that it actually gets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, this is going to have – I would guess that was a big part of why we saw those margins guided lower.
I bet you're spot on with that. Totally makes sense.
Nice observation.
Thank you.
Yeah, brain sharp like that.
That's what I do.
Yes, you do. Hey, we have a sponsor this week.
Yay.
Yes, yay. Casper Mattresses. And I'm really excited that they are one of our sponsors because they're the people that made the bed that's helping me sleep better. And I don't think it's any secret that I have really bad insomnia and have been battling with this for years. And when I got my mattress from Casper, I thought this would be a really fascinating experiment to see what sort of impact this has on my sleep. And I spent a lot of time actually logging my sleep patterns. Well, I still do. And what I noticed is that once I got my Casper mattress, almost immediately I saw an improvement in my overall sleep patterns.
Definitely for me too. I mean, you're the one with the problems, but I sleep better. I sleep a lot better in my Casper mattress.
That's right. You have the same one I do. Well, not the exact same bed because it would be a long commute for one of us to go to bed at night.
It's true. Yeah.
But we both have the queen size mattress, and bonus, they cost $850 as opposed to over $1,000 because Casper is making the mattresses and then sending them to you themselves. So they've been able to cut down on a lot of the expenses that go along with having to build up all that extra inventory and then have showrooms and
sales guys.
And sales guys. Yeah, it's just you go online, you order your mattress, and it shows up at your house, and you take it out of the box and go to bed, just like that. So what they're doing, because they want to make sure that everyone can have as nice a night's sleep as possible, they're giving all of our listeners a $50 discount, which is great. So that is nice. Yeah, the $850 mattress that Brian and I have will cost you $800. Now, and you get free shipping. Score. So what you have to do is go to their website. That's casper.com/TDO. And then use the discount code TDO to get your $50 off. And they have mattresses starting at I believe, $600. So like if you need a twin mattress. And then going up to $950 for a king size. And there you go. Get yourself $50 off. Get yourself the mattress that you need delivered to your door for free, and unroll that thing and start sleeping better tonight. So, hey, thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor this week. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate that I get to sleep better too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, the other thing that I wanted to take a look at today is this really cool technology that you wrote about yesterday, Brian, and this is the HoloLens technology that Microsoft, of all companies, just demonstrated.
Yeah, they were demonstrating it at Build 2015, to developer conference, and they basically set up a physical room, the shell of a physical room, on stage, and then they had a dude walking around with a HoloLens strapped to his head. It looked like
the Spaceballs helmet. Yeah.
And then they had another camera, a cameraman with a TV quality camera, filming the event. But that camera also had the HoloLens technology, seeing the same thing that the dude was seeing.
Right. So you could see the virtual reality stuff along with the guy wearing.
Yeah, but from the viewpoint of the.
Of the audience,
cameraman, not the demonstrator. So it was actually very cleverly put on, right? I mean, it was very clever demonstration, but the demonstration itself was also insanely cool. So they did things like, have a pop a video up that always follows you, so that you can like keep the game on in the background. He walked over to a wall and said something like, "Oh, I'm the worst at keeping track with people." You know, if you ever noticed that Microsoft's staged events, the dialogue and the pacing is always awful.
Oh, yes. I have so noticed that.
Always. It's really, really weird how bad they are at that, even though this demo was good. But anyway, that's beside the point. It's like, "Oh, I'm terrible at keeping track with people." So I'm going to put my Skype contacts right here on the wall. And so, you know, flings it up on the wall. And then every time he were to walk back into that room with the Spaceballs gear on, he would see his Skype contacts right there, making it, you know, a lot easier to see if he has any messages, et cetera. He popped up a virtual memory that was, you know, sci-fi incarnate. It was all very, very, very cool. Am I missing out any of the other highlights?
Now, you talked about how he was throwing displays around, and they just kind of stuck wherever he put them. which is cool. Being able to watch content in real time as he walks around. There was the social interaction aspects. I think he hit the big points, and it really was cool, and it shows so much promise because it was just a really interesting and novel way of interacting with all the information that's part of our lives. Watching it, though, there was part of me that was like, oh, man, even though this makes us more connected, is it also going to make us more disconnected from the people around us because we're interacting with the content that that we're projecting as opposed to the people that
I think we're going to need like another hour on this. And John, I'm eagerly waiting for you to weigh in.
Well, I think it's got the opportunity to be my bimodal. There's a lot of emphasis these days on health and fitness. And so I think what's going to happen is that people are going to be moving around more and exercising more and doing things more outdoors and being more mobile. And then when they come into their environment, they're going to have this even better technology to connect. So I don't think it's going to go all hog wild towards, you know, we become vegetables sitting in the couch. I think it's going to be a great tool for augmenting our lives in special kinds of ways. And we were talking before the meeting about usage cases, and I see it as an opportunity for distant business meetings, interaction with people you don't want to, you know, fly to go see you. You can't. You got your beach house. You've been running in the morning. You come in and you settle down for the afternoon meeting with your team. More immersive sports events. I've seen the discussion about that already, about, you know, maybe getting down onto the ice with the Anaheim Ducks and being, you know, feeling like you're one of the players because they may have helmets on that can contribute to you feeling like you're part of the game. So there's all sorts of opportunities here I'm not fearful of it. I'm not worried about it. I don't see it as something that's going to harm us. I just see it as something that it's got to mature quite a bit. I mean, we don't want to walk around with baseball helmets on our heads, but
and all of that to be absolutely clear and fair, the Spaceballs joke is, I mean, this is still early stage development stuff. So, you know, Microsoft wasn't demonstrating any kind of shipping product or anything like that. It's going to be a lot of miniaturization that happens in the stuff. And just like we had glass holes walking around with Google Glass on, if this comes to market, there would be people who would walk around with this all the time.
Well, I was thinking about that before the meeting, before our staff meeting this morning. There are companies that are eager to get stuff out there to make money, and they maybe push something out too soon. It'll be interesting to see at what point Microsoft thinks this is a commercial product. There will always be vice presidents within the company and say, hey, look, there's plenty of nerds out there who'll pay good money for this. Let's ship it. But cooler heads have to prevail and say, no, we don't want to go wrong in an early phase, and we want to introduce it when it's mature and we have a widely acceptable audience. So it'd be interesting to see how Microsoft handles that compared to Google and their Google Glass, which was obviously very premature.
Yeah, but Google Glass was also an invitation-only developer program.
That's true. And Google made it very clear that this was not anything more than a concept product when they started selling it.
That's true, Jeff, but there was so much fuss about it that the fanning of the flames on the internet suggested that it wouldn't be long before we'd all be having one of these.
Yeah, it's not necessarily Google's fault, though.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, we live in a world now where people have lost the concept of what alpha and beta and prototype mean. And they see something that they can get their hands on, and they equate that with this is a final shipping product, even if it isn't.
Yeah, the company's just hedging its bets. But, you know, so there will be people that would walk around with this like all the time, for sure. But the reality is that the best case scenarios that I see are very, very specific. And, you know, in addition to things that John said, you've got gaming, you've got meetings, you've got people collaborating on from different points, even different points around the world. You've got looking at looking at working on a virtual product together, just even, you know, demonstrating virtual virtual representations of products. You've got you know, work related cases. I mean, this is the until what they showed is not only better, of course, but until it can actually be projected onto our vision or even done through contacts, this is not going to be an everyday part of life for a lot of people.
I agree. But once it does reach that point, I can see where something like this would just very naturally and organically become part of our world, because we would be seeing all of this just in the same way that we see what's in front of us anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it would just be a natural progression. And hopefully along the way, we don't forget to continue to interact with the people that really are physically in front of us.
Well, you know, listen, man, today people, there's a lot of talk about people not interacting with the people around them. And it's definitely an issue, but people are interacting with people in the virtual space more than they ever have.
That's so true.
It's not a cut and dry thing. It's not like people are isolating themselves from other people. It's that they're interacting with other people in different ways. That change frightens some people, and that change is difficult we're in a transition period for the way people work together. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad.
You know, okay, that's actually a really good point. And there are a lot of people that walking down the street would be completely isolated from everyone around them. But you put a smartphone in their hand, and now they have a massive community around the world they're interacting with. And it doesn't matter that those people aren't there physically. Those people are there for that person.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a really good point. So I'm now retracting what I said about hopefully we won't forget to interact with the people around us, because
this message brought to you by Young People for Staying on Lawns.
You know, yeah. Jeff, this has been a remarkable show because Brian and I have agreed on everything.
I want to know where.
How about that?
I want to know where the real Brian and John are, and you alien pod people, what have you done with them? Yeah. But we can't find out now because we're out of time. So we're going to have to wrap up. Brian, thank you for being here. It's always great to have you on the show.
Thanks, man.
And John, thank you for being here. I always love getting your perspective.
It was a pleasure as always.
And thank you to Casper for being our sponsor again. And head over to the website. It's casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get $50 off your mattress purchase, and you get free delivery. And even though you can't sleep in my bed, you can sleep in the same bed as me. And that's kind of cool, too. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.